Welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Colorado Avalanche beat writer for ColoradoHockeyNow.com, podcaster here at Mile High Sports, trying to get through this intro without forgetting who I am. Today's going to be a shorter episode. It is, of course, Monday, January 13. It's the day before Colorado starts an every other day homestand, right into one day off, into a road trip where they're going to play on back-to-back nights, both at 11 a.m. Mountain Time against the Rangers and the Bruins on the road. And in this five-game road trip, they also have two matinee games. They got a 1 p.m.er and a 2 p.m.er coming up Saturday at 2 p.m. against the Dallas Stars, Monday at 1 p.m. Martin Luther King Day, a week from today, against the Minnesota Wild. So today's going to be a quick episode because I did an episode after the Minnesota Wild game that the Avalanche played last week and won 6-1. So we've got two things to talk about. We've got the Winnipeg Jets game, which I didn't even do a 10 observations on that one over on ColoradoHockeyNow.com because there just wasn't enough to really write about, I would say, especially because I was not on the road. Without that locker room access, without the ability to ask players what went right, what went wrong, and, you know, start to chime in a little bit of their opinions, the observations that I have watching from home on my TV as a blogger would do, someone who's not on the beat or, you know, has that access, it didn't really seem like there was enough to write about. The simple gist of that game was Connor Hellebuyck had a great game. The Avalanche could not score on him for the third regular season game in a row. Yes, sandwich in between the playoffs where they beat the ever-living shit out of him. It was very similar. Like, the game started very similarly to that one in early November where the Wild scored a minute in and then just held that the rest of the way and won 1-0 or whatever. And it may have been a minute in. If it wasn't a minute in, it was pretty close to the beginning of the game. And Georgiev let in a goal, and then him and Hellebuyck just matched each other shot for shot the rest of the way. This time, Mackenzie Blackwood let in a second goal. And then when he let in that second goal, Winnipeg also obviously scored an empty netter and made it 3-0. But it's the fact that that second goal, when it went in, and it was in the second period after the Avalanche had quite a few opportunities. It like, never in an NHL game does 2-0. Like, they call it the worst lead in hockey, not the safest lead in hockey. Like, never is it a sure thing, but it felt pretty close to that, just given the way that that game was going and with Connor Hellebuyck playing the way he was. So that's about all I can say. Obviously, there's some injury stuff that we got some news out of that game, Sam Girard, things like that. But I'm going to save that for the bulk of this episode, which is going to be covering what we saw practice on Monday at Family Sports Center right before the Avalanche begin that road trip. Like I said, there was a few things. Number one, we got news that Scott Wedgwood was reactivated from injury reserve Sunday night, and Trent Miner was reassigned to the American Hockey League's Colorado Eagles. So Wedgwood is back. The Avalanche have their goalies back, the Lumberyard, the Wedge Walls, the Wedge Wall, and the whatever the hell Blackwood goes by. They're all back. They're both back, and having Wedgwood in time for this string of games is crucial. So here's kind of the updates. Number one, on Scott Wedgwood, I chatted with him myself and Evan Rowell over at what used to be Colorado Hockey Now, where I now work. But Evan Rowell over at the Denver Gazette, the Colorado Gazette, and myself, we chatted with Wedgwood for a good 7 or 8 minutes. Like, straight up, it was like three questions. Wedgwood is wonderful. You know, some players give 2-3 4-word answers. Some of them give a sentence of answers. Wedgwood talks your ear off with all of this great information. So we chatted with him about the injury. We chatted with him about what he thought it was. Obviously, he did the same thing Bednar did, where the very first thing he feared was a high ankle. He said when the trainer came to him on the ice and was helping him, he said, "I think it's a high ankle. But then he went on to explain how his, you know, skates were tied really tight, which is something he does, and how that played a part into, like, the pain feeling more than it should have and stuff like that. And how when he got the equipment off, the fearing for the worst didn't end up being the worst. But I'm going to write all about that on ColoradoHockeyNow.com. I'm going to save it for when he makes his first start. That might be on Tuesday. And if it's not on Tuesday, I'll have it ready to go for the game, you know, Thursday or Saturday or Monday, whenever the hell he ends up being the starter. So obviously we got some big games coming. I asked Jared Bednar about the tandem. Blackwood and Wedgwood are both here. You got these five big games coming up. And ultimately what I was trying to do, because when you ask Bednar the day before a game who's starting in goal, he's never really going to give you that answer. So what I tried to do was to kind of hint at, can Wedgwood play against the Rangers? And it sounded like it is a possibility, because the way that I phrased my question, for those who watch the Jared Bednar post-practice presser, Gorilla Sports obviously always uploads it on their Twitter page and on their Instagram page and all that, and on their YouTube. I worded my question something along the lines of, you know, Wedgwood's back, you got both of these guys going. Given the way this homestand is going to be, because you got big games against Minnesota, Dallas, and I'm missing a team, Winnipeg, geez, Minnesota, Dallas, and Winnipeg, and you have the Edmonton Oilers, which is another big game in the West. And then you got the New York Rangers, who are out of the playoff positioning in the East. Like, is this a situation where you're comfortable playing Wedgwood against one of those tougher teams, or is this a situation where you're going to ride Blackwood? And it kind of made it sound like we're going to take it game by game. But ultimately what he was saying is, you know, if Blackwood is doing his thing, we're going to ride Blackwood. And that's ultimately where Jared Bednar is at. He's at Blackwood can handle the workload, and I'm going to use him. And you know, I wrote about this in my article about Scott Wedgwood on Sunday when it was announced that he would be reactivated. It's that, yes, the Avalanche over the last couple of years, especially with Alexander Georgiev, Bednar has had a tendency to overplay the starters because he's never really had a backup. Now he's got a backup. You don't want him to overplay the starter, and you don't want the starter to get hurt or to be fatigued and to kind of lose his touch. That is all true. But we also have the Four Nations face-off coming up in 3 weeks where everybody's going to get a 12, 13, 14, 15-day break. So for Mackenzie Blackwood, like, that is going to be huge for him because he might play a lot of games during this stretch, and then he's got over 2 weeks to chill out after, you know, being a tandem goalie for so long over the last few years. Even last year with Vanecek, like, Blackwood didn't play 60, 65 games. But since he's come to the Avalanche, he's ultimately been playing at a pace where if it was to be extrapolated over a full season, you're talking about a guy who's going to play like 65 to 70 games. Obviously, that's not going to happen. It's just the stretch that he's been in. But last year for the San Jose Sharks, he started 41 games, precisely in half. He played in 44, but he started 41. The year before that with the Devils in 2023, he started 20. In 2022, he started 24. The most career starts he's had in his career is 43. The most starts he's had in his career in any given season is 43. That was in that lockout, in that COVID shortened season, 2019-20, not a lockout, good Lord, where he was 22-14-8. He had a 2.77 goals against average, a 9.15 save percentage. He had three shutouts. That's when he started to look like the guy for Team Canada moving forward, the future of the Devils, the future of Team Canada. Obviously, things have kind of hit the fan since then. He's made a stop in San Jose. Now he's in Denver. He's at 27 starts this year. He's at 10 in a month. I don't think he's ever started 10 games in a month. I want to go double check and I want to see. But his first start with the Avalanche was December 14. It is January 13 when I'm recording this podcast. He has started 10 games and he's played in 11 because of the Buffalo game. How has he done? 939 save percentage, 166 goals against average. Ho-hum. Beautiful game from Blackwood since he's joined this team. So it's going to be crucial for him to get that time to rest. That's going to be massive because he's never played this much hockey, and what he's going to do over the next few weeks is also going to be a lot of hockey leading into that February break. But at the same time, you have Wedgwood, you have a guy that you like, you have a guy that you trust, and it's going to give you a little bit more of a safety net to know that your backup goalie's been pretty damn good as well. In fact, the Buffalo game where he let in three goals, I mean, obviously he let in four, but the fourth one, he was laying on his back in pain. So we're not going to, it counts on the stat sheet, but we're not going to, you know, hold Wedgwood accountable for that one. He let in three goals through two periods and early in the third period, where like that was his worst performance in an Avalanche uniform. He's been exceptional, and that one wasn't even all that bad when you really truly think about it. So you got Wedgwood, you got Blackwood. How are they going to split this up? How are they going to make this work? It remains to be seen, but I'm going to write about Wedgwood. Like I said, I'm going to have it ready to go with quotes from him leading into his first start, and it might be Tuesday. So we will see. Obviously, it is not guaranteed. We won't know until after morning skate. Now, there was a few other updates. Like I said, short episode today. It's just a post-practice coverage type of dealio. The Avalanche had Ivan, Oliver Shillington, and Val Nichushkin all skate before practice in a red non-contact sweater. Starting with Nichushkin, the most important one, I asked Jared about, you know, it was day-to-day, 7 to 10 days. It's been 2 weeks, and, you know, like you said, he's not close to returning. What changed? He said that Val tried to take the ice a couple times with that lower body injury, and he didn't feel great, so he had to back off. The timeline is further out now, obviously. So that's where we are with Val Nichushkin. Samuel Girard still is not ready. He is and remains day-to-day. Ivan and Shillington are still ways away. Miles Wood, I think he skated too, if I remember correctly. Miles Wood is obviously still ways away. Ivan was then medically cleared after practice and reassigned to the Colorado Eagles. That says to me that he might be getting close to taking contact at practice and then maybe playing some American Hockey League games before getting a call up. But, you know, Blackwood needs the Four Nations face-off break so that he can recoup after what's going to be a very big workload, after what's already been a big workload in his first month with the Avalanche. The rest of the team needs a break so they can get healthy. Because over a 15, 16, 17-day stretch, like during that break, you know, you can usually in that time, and I want to double check because I keep jumping around with how many days. So I don't know exactly what days the NHL is off, but what I can say is Colorado plays Friday, February 7 at Edmonton, and then they return to action Saturday, February 22nd at Nashville. So they have 15 days between games, which means they have a solid 2 weeks off. They play Friday, and then they have two full weeks off, and then they play that next Saturday. So in those 14 to 15 days, like, you can see teams play up to 8 games. So if you're someone like Val Nichushkin and you're injured for 2 weeks at the start of the Four Nations faceoff break, you're not going to miss any games. Where otherwise, you would miss 10% of the season. It's a massive chunk. So this is going to be a good time for some of these guys to get healthy. And there is a lot of them. I believe it was Corey Massasak who tweeted that Colorado had 8 players on the ice at practice today who were unavailable. I'm going to see if I can try to list them all, and I'll probably mess this up. But they had Girard, then Nichushkin, they had Shillington, they had Wood, they had Ivan. And I've already lost count. Ivan, Wood, Shillington, Nichushkin, Girard. I don't remember who else, and I'm going to try to figure it out. But moral of the story, they're losing a lot of guys. Or sorry, they're missing a lot of guys. So I don't know who else it is. You know what? I'm going to stop embarrassing myself because I feel like you guys are screaming, it's this guy, it's that guy, and I'm just forgetting. Moral of the story, the Avs are going to need that break. Ivan going to the American Hockey League. Girard's not ready. Nichushkin had a little bit of a setback from that day-to-day injury. Shillington's a ways away. Wood's ways away. And at least he got Wedgwood back. It's kind of good news to see Wedgwood be back so quickly. If he was to play on Tuesday against the New York Rangers, it would be precisely 2 weeks to the day where he got the injury in the first place, which we all feared was a high ankle sprain. So that would be massive news to have him back that quickly. That's someone who was good news. The only other injury I could think of this season that didn't go worse than originally planned, which seems to be the common theme with this damn team, day to day turns into week to week real quick, which is unfortunate, is Ross Colton. Ross Colton was supposed to be out 6 to 8 weeks and came back at day 40, which is 2 days before 6 weeks. So not only was it on the low end, but he beat the low end of the 6 to 8 weeks. So that was also great news. Granted, Wood hasn't been all that great this season, unfortunately, since returning from the injury, at least in terms of offensive production. Like, he's always pretty noticeable out there, but it just is. It sucks to see that his production has kind of fallen off because he was off to such a red hot start early in the season. And they would love to have that back. 27 games for Miles Wood right now. Sorry, for Ross Colton right now. 13 goals, 2 assists, 15 points. The two assists is mind-boggling for a player that had 23 last year. But he's playing right around that same pace of 40 points in 80 games, which is what he had a season ago. Let's see what else we got. The last thing we're going to talk about is Gabriel Landeskog. If you follow my work at ColoradoHockeyNow.com, and if you don't, what are you doing? Hope you will get over there and start reading the stories. But there, I wrote my Monday notebook, January 6th Monday notebook. I wrote about, is Gabe Landeskog actually nearing a return? And I based it off of the reports. There was one from Frank Saravalli. Emily Kaplan had kind of echoed something similar on ESPN during an intermission of a hockey game. She was working as a sideline reporter. And excuse me, it was something along the lines of, Landeskog has not been able to skate on consecutive days because his knee starts to swell after he takes the ice. It blows up. Whenever he pushes it, it blows up. It starts to swell. And that's why we see him at a morning skate, and then a few days later, we see him at another morning skate, but not on consecutive days. So I asked Jared Bednar about those reports, and he vehemently denied them. He said no. He obviously didn't go into anything further in terms of like what keeps Val or what keeps Gabe from skating on any given day or what decides when he skates and all that. But he did deny the reports. So take with that what you must. I could not hate more for the man, for all of us, but especially for him, that it is January and we're still talking about Gabe being in the exact same position he was 12 months ago. I really thought in September, I was drinking the Kool-Aid. I really thought he would be back by November or December. In fact, I remember when I booked the day for my wedding back in mid-November when I got married. I remember in the summer thinking to myself, I'm going to be so upset if when I take those, I think I missed four home games. I said, I'm going to be so upset if one of those four home games is Gabe Landeskog's return, because I would not want to miss that for the world. And boy, was I wrong, because my wedding was about 2 months ago, and he's nowhere close to returning at this point. So it's unfortunate, but Bednar did deny those reports. Is it true? Is it not? Who the fuck knows? But that's where we are with Gabe Landeskog. But on a more positive note, the Avalanche are looking to continue their run at Ball Arena. They've been pretty damn good there lately. Five straight games at home. I'm so excited. It's going to be a cold week, but it's going to be a lot of fun hockey. So with that, let's put an end to the show. So excited for tomorrow. You want to know why? I also get to see Peter Baugh, who covers the New York Rangers now. He's in town. Pumped to see him again. Follow all my work, ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Become a subscriber. Get access to paywall content. If you don't want the paywall content, subscriber, you can just subscribe to the, or just create an account on the website in general. You'll be on the email list. You'll be on the notification list. You'll also get to be part of the comment community on ColoradoHockeyNow.com. It is a wonderful community. Tons of comments under every article. Great discussions with a lot of very, very big Avalanche fans. So follow all of that work. Mile High Sports Podcast, Ringside with Arif Dean. Subscribe on Apple. Subscribe on Spotify. Subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts. If you are on Apple, leave a 5-star review. Leave a comment why you love the show so much. I would really, really appreciate and love if you guys were able to do that as well. Follow me on Twitter at RunRightArif. If you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little heart. Let's make hockey for everyone. And we out you.